After the First Land Act, there was a bill brought in for Scotland, I think it was 1885, which was based off the Land Act bill. But it was word for word transferred over. It was a general belief that this would be a good solution. If it's a good solution for Ireland, it's a good solution for Scotland. At the same time, the same group in Glasgow was involved in the Home Rule movement, more in the 1880s, but also parts of the 1870s. And they became quite a libertarian force within the movement. At the time, Parnell is known as like the uncrowned king of Ireland. He's quite authoritarian within his own movement. He demanded quite a large amount of loyalty and deference. The Glaswegian Home Rule movement did not follow that line at all. They believed in kind of having a federated system of councils and groups, and they believed in kind of having decentralized power. They didn't like the idea that Parnell had all this power. And he found them a major pain in the ass at the time. And several times they tried to bring in bills to remove power from him and then the kind of central clique which surrounded him. Without success, they met very, very little success. Were almost always the only voice of dissension within these meetings. They kind of establishes a kind of a trend of anti-authoritarian radicalism, which goes back, as we've said, all the way back to the 1790s. It doesn't die out because the people who were part of the United Irishmen or the Defenders or even the Ribbon Men and the IRB, just because they die or leave, it's still there beneath the surface. This carries on, as I said, in the Land League and the Home Rule movement, and progressed finally and fulfilled in many ways its raison d'etre in the labor movement, which is the final area of the book, which describes kind of the Irish community's integration within British society within the context of a kind of a socialistic labour movement.
When I was reading through some of your work there, you draw the comparison between Liverpool, which also has a huge Irish community. The Irish political movements in Liverpool are able to get a Home Rule MP elected. They have their own branches of the Irish Parliamentary Party, and in Glasgow and other parts of Scotland, they don't have the same power to get their own MP elected. But what did that Home Rule and Irish National League, how did they throw their support behind other political candidates?
Well, generally the Irish National League desired, and Parnell desired, the Irish community in Britain to vote for the Liberal Party. The goal was, we get the Libs and then elected, we'll do a deal with them and they'll give us Home Rule. And that was generally the rule, and you obey it. In Glasgow, there was a lot of dissension about that, specifically from a man called John Ferguson, and probably John Wheatley as well. They believed that the Irish community should be able to vote for who they like, and that was often, they often support the idea of voting for socialist candidates and Labour candidates. At the time, there was no Labour Party, but there was a proto-Labour grouping of trade unionists who were quite politicised, like I think Keir Hardie, I could be right, before he, I think he was the first Scottish Labour parliamentary member, but before that he was quite a staunch trade unionist trying to bring about a new Labour Party. So there was quite a desire for them to vote, and on the municipal level, there was quite a lot of evidence to suggest, where the national question was not an issue, Irish people were voting for Labour and trade union candidates when they were put forward. There was still a degree of hesitancy by the Parnell and his grouping, but there wasn't as much of an issue with it, and the evidence would suggest that when the option of a Labour candidate was on the ballot, and there was not an issue of, there wasn't the Irish national issue wasn't on at stake, they would vote for Labour candidates. This leads into the 1890s, when the National Union of Dock Labourers emerged. Now, the Irish are notorious from at least probably the 1860s to 1870s for being involved in dockers movement. In Edinburgh, it was about 20%, in Leith, and in Glasgow, it was about 60% of dockers were Irish. And that's only that's first generation, let alone probably more, including second generation. And by the 1890s, they were in the National Union of Dock Labourers, which is, anyone who studied Irish history knows, is where Jim Larkin was involved in. It was a very radical union. And in fact, Larkin actually was in Glasgow for a brief time before he came to Belfast and was involved in the union. But in the 1890s, particularly the beginning of it, the movement was dominated by Irish members. And there was quite a radical culture of industrial strikes and wildcat strikes the time, which kind of fits into the like kind of the general tradition of when the Irish can find their way to dominate a union, as they did in the 1820s and 1830s with the cotton spinners union. They become quite a radical force, or at least they see the union seems to become quite radicalized. I would say that this fits into the idea of this tradition of radicalism as well. This would continue for a while. Obviously, there was quite a, as we all know, by the late 1890s and the early 1900s, the leadership of the union became quite conservative. They had a big problem with Jim Larkin promoting these ideas of a sympathetic strike, and which was in fact practiced by in a kind of primitive form in Glasgow by the Irish Dockers. In many ways, the Irish were now being involved in this new union movement, which had merged since the 1880s. However, they, for the most part, were not involved in socialist parties. Or there was a belief propagated by the Vatican that socialism was anathema to Catholicism. And obviously, people were very loyal Catholics at this time. A man came about who tried to change this, and I think one can say he did, and that he changed people's opinions to such an extent. By 1916 to 1920, Irish people were voting en masse for the Labour Party, and they were generally kind of converted to an idea of socialism. His name was John Wheatley, and the group he had was called the Catholic Socialist Society. From the mid-1900s to about 1912, He had grown up in the mining communities in the west of Scotland as a young Irish immigrant, and moved to Glasgow with his brother and had a small business before he got involved in the Home Rule movement. But he was always influenced by his past as a poor miner, and he started to get involved, much like John Ferguson did, with the union movements and the socialistic movements. He was converted to a kind of a British socialism rather than a European Marxism.